Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, December 2nd, 2013. My name is Sally Bathis. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about Christmas in America. Say it like it is. Merry Christmas, America. But before we get into that, before we get into the holiday season, Christmas, a couple of things to mention. Excuse me. First off, I hope everybody had a very nice and safe Thanksgiving holiday. I hope all of your family is well. It was sad to see the commuter train derail the accident yesterday, but I guess it could have been worse had it been on a weekday when the train would have been loaded. So that was, I guess we'll call that the blessing, that there weren't more people on it and more people hurt. But it was sad to see, and it's going to be interesting to see what the overall cause of it, because apparently it's an area on the track that has had other problems. And then they said something about the train was going too fast, human error. There's just a variety of things that it could be. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Speaking of commuter rail, I thought it was interesting when it was on Morning Joe. I don't know who it was talking. I was just listening to it. Morning Joe said something about, they're talking about transportation expenses, money for infrastructure. And somewhere along the way, there was talk about high-speed trains in Florida. And somebody on there, wasn't Joe Scarswell, but somebody else, they kept saying, they talk about putting, with the exception of the Northeast and that area there, they talk about putting these high-speed rail trains, commuter trains all over the place. That is just stupid. It's a weird thing to do. Well, and it was actually quite funny to listen to it because most of us know it's stupid, too. We're too spread out. It doesn't do any good. And it's not like Orlando is not anywhere near New York City or the Northeast, the larger cities up in the Northeast. A little congestion. So that was kind of interesting. They were talking about that as they were obviously talking about the train derailment. And so that was just kind of a sad way to end the holiday weekend, or the Thanksgiving weekend, with that happening. The other thing is... I had a very nice Thanksgiving, and it was, I refused to go shopping on Thanksgiving Day, and I refused to go shopping on Black Friday. I didn't do any shopping until Saturday afternoon and a little bit on Sunday. And when I went out, it really wasn't that busy. So I avoided the craziness, and we're going to talk a little bit about that craziness a little bit here. When we talk about Christmas in America. The other thing is, I just saw this ad today, or I should say article report today, that the NFL is banning, they call it Daniel Defense commercial on the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl. And this Daniel Defense is a veteran, the way the commercial shows, is a veteran who is defending his family, and it's advertising Daniel Defense. And so I never saw a gun in the thing except for the final, the very end, it said Daniel Defense, and it had a outline of a gun. It wasn't an actual gun. So, but the NFL apparently is banning this from the Super Bowl. Now, I would say I'd boycott the Super Bowl, except I don't watch it anyway. So it's not much of a difference for me. I haven't watched Super Bowl in years. I don't remember the last time I watched the Super Bowl. I used to like their half times, but then they kept having wardrobe problems and whatever else. And so I don't know. I just did my disgust of pro sports in general, including the Super Bowl. I haven't watched it in a few years. But anyway, to think that they're going to ban the, you know, selling of firearms, it's totally inappropriate. It's not their place to go out there and try to trash the Constitution. And, you know, it's just, Yeah, I mean, and there's others who are trying to get them to stop playing the national anthem at the beginning of the game. And if they stop, then, you know, we got even a bigger problem with this NFL. So for those of you who might have been inclined to watch it, I would suggest don't watch it. If you think the Second Amendment's important, don't watch the Super Bowl. Send some kind of notice to the NFL that you don't approve of what they're doing. Again, the commercial, if you look up NFL bans Daniel Defense commercial, you'll see the article out there. And it shows the family man, the father, coming home from work, and it talks about, you know, he's home now, not because he was in the service, like I say. It shows the guy is a veteran, and then he goes inside, and the wife and the baby are there, and he's going to protect his family. And he said he'll protect his family. No one needs to tell him how to defend his family or something to that effect. And you can watch the commercial yourself online. But just know that the NFL doesn't really support the Second Amendment. They don't believe you should have the right to arm, I guess, arm yourself. So anyway, take a look at that and see what you think, and let the NFL know what you think. And then the other is, getting into what America, Christmas in America is, and the tie over from Thanksgiving to America. I was doing some of the history on Thanksgiving and finding out how George Washington, President Washington, first proclaimed Thanksgiving. And it was really a one-time thing at the beginning to thank God for the blessings and for our country and those kinds of things. And you can look up George Washington Thanksgiving Proclamation if you want to look for it. And then it was Abraham Lincoln who made it a holiday. And I believe it was Roosevelt who changed it from the fourth Thursday of the month to the third Thursday of the month. And I found that to be interesting. Why? Because he wanted one more week of Christmas shopping. I don't know. To me, there's just something that wrong about that. And then it did eventually get changed back, and I cannot remember who changed it back. I actually have to go look at that one. But the whole point is they went and pushed it back to the third Thursday of the month instead of the fourth in order to give people more time to do Christmas shopping, to have Black Friday one day earlier and whatever. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. It shows, which is kind of what the topic of the night is, Christmas in America. What does it say about America? Is this something that just started happening? Is this something we've been doing for quite a while? Have we lost our core values? Did we lose them sometime back? So there's that. And anything else anybody wants to talk about, but I really kind of want to get into the Christmas season. I don't know about you, but like I said, I did not go shopping on Black Friday. And, of course, why is it called Black Friday? Because that's when the merchants get out of the red and see black. It's this last month of the year that makes them turn their profits. That's what saves them, if you will, from the financial loss. So that's why it's Black Friday. Gets them in the black. So when we think about Christmas, though, Christmas in America, what do you think about? What is the meaning of Christmas anyway? And I don't profess to be any super religious person. I do not go to church on a regular basis, even though I do my own thing. I watch various church things on TV and stuff, but I myself do not go to any church on a regular basis. And this isn't to try to give some kind of sermon on Christmas, but when you think about the core meaning of Christmas, what it's about, and it all comes down to Jesus Christ and him dying for us and sacrificing for the sins and the evilness of people, basically. And that we need to care about each other, that we need to think of what it means to be on this planet. What is your role here? What does it mean to be a Christian, obviously? But what does it mean to be on this planet, and what is your purpose? What is the purpose? What's the right and wrong thing to do? What is good and bad? What is good and evil? What is right and wrong? And when that's what this is all about, to give thanks, again, along with, we have Thanksgiving, but then we also have Christmas to celebrate what we've been blessed with. I mean, it seems like we don't think much about what it really means, like keep Christ in Christmas. How many people don't seem to even know Christmas, Christ? They don't seem to put the two together. Because that Black Friday, got to go out there. And those, of course, who started shopping on Thanksgiving, I heard one report today that made it sound like the being open on Thanksgiving really wasn't so beneficial, that it really didn't prove to be, the numbers didn't suggest or prove that it was really a good thing to do. I'm hoping that the numbers were bad. I'm hoping that the numbers continue to be slightly bad on Thanksgiving, because I don't really think that should be a day to be out shopping, buying gifts for Christmas when you're supposed to be thankful for what you have versus going on a shopping spree. So that's just my take on that. So, but it goes back to what the meaning of Christmas is. And then when you think about what the meaning of Christmas is in America, and I openly admit I'm guilty of giving too many gifts. And in my own case, I am, I don't know if you want to call it a true gift giver kind of thing, but I actually pick something out for somebody that I care about and I think they would like. Can't buy something for everybody, can't afford it. But those who I have spent a lot of time, who have helped me out through the years and through the past year and those kind of things, why I would do that. And with me, it's not a matter of, okay, go to the store and buy something to hand to them, kind of like you do with the office party routine, buy anything to put in there and to exchange the gift. But I try to make something that's very personal to somebody who I care about. That's the way I give gifts. But I still give too many. I still spend too much. I shouldn't do that because I can't afford it, for one. And that really isn't what the core meaning. That's not what the meaning of Christmas is about. So when we think about it all, where does this take us as Americans? Are we truly so materialistic and superficial these days? Do we truly care about each other, or do we just want to see how much we can get? And I mean, when you go and you see, to me, the nutsiness of Black Friday. I mean, I haven't gone out shopping on Black Friday in, 6 years, 7 years. You know, it was one of the first times, or I think the last year I went was when it was a Walmart here in Florida someplace where an individual got trampled to death. I mean, everybody was, they ran over him, and it was so disgusting, all over the individual. And I thought, this is nuts. I mean, is this what Americans look like to the rest of the world? A bunch of whatever you want to call it, beaten down the door to get some big screen TV to give to somebody for themselves or for a gift for Christmas. I mean, there's just something so nutsy about it all. You know, and the same thing for certain toys. People will run over somebody, fight somebody. I mean, how many different fights there have been over stuff? It's just sick. It really is sick. And I'm like, if this is what the world has seen America as, it's quite embarrassing to me. I don't know about others, but I don't think it's anything to be proud of. I really don't. I mean, this isn't what we're supposed to be about. This isn't America. And it's just very depressing. I don't know. So I think if Black Friday is really showing what we are as a culture, as a society, Americans, if we're related to Black Friday and this nutsiness, it's depressing. It really is. Like, that's, we've lost our way. And you just kind of take it into everything else. Like, it was more important on Thanksgiving Day, on Black Friday, to go out there and buy some gift or something, thinking you're getting some kind of discount, and, you know, willing to risk getting harmed yourself And then, of course, getting into the fights and getting into running people over, the mob mentality of it all. I think it's sick. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I think it's nutso. So I don't do that. And like I said, I won't go shopping like that. The only thing I would go shopping for on Thanksgiving Day is if it was something I had to pick up as a very last-minute thing for Thanksgiving Day. It would not be to go out Christmas shopping. That would not be the point. If I happen to forget the turkey, you know, I might go buy a turkey a little bit late, but you get my drift. The whole point would be it'd be something for Thanksgiving. It would not to be going out and just Christmas shopping. I just don't think that's right myself. I think you should take one day and give thanks. Let's go back to what George Washington was saying. President Washington's proclamation. A day of thanks. And not the materialistic, superficial stuff that we seem to be so engaged in these days. And I just do kind of wonder what the world sees us as. There's those maniacs again. There's the superficial, materialistic Americans. They had to have a day off to give thanks so they could go shopping. Psycho. I don't know. To me, it just says something about the decline of our culture. The other is, and as we talk about Black Friday, just the question is going shopping, Black Friday, going out there trying to save 5 cents on something or save a dollar on something, whatever it may be, is that more important than staying home with family and giving thanks? Taking in what the day truly means. Is it better to go out shopping, or is it better to honor the day, respect the day, respect what it means for our country, for our beliefs, for our core values? And if we don't, what does it say about us? And then the next, which I've kind of already touched on, but we'll go back to it. Also, football games. I don't know. With me, I know there's those that are going to say, you know, some kind of a party pooper or whatever. But I really don't care about watching a football game on Thanksgiving. There's something about football, people bashing their brains in, getting more concussions and everything else, doesn't seem to be the thankful thing to do. It just doesn't. Oh, I mean, I just can't say, dear Lord, thank you for having football on TV. I don't know. Again, it seems to take away from what the meaning is. I mean, the meaning is, okay, we've had Thanksgiving dinner, now let's go pile around a TV set, have a bunch of beers and whatever, get drunk and watch a football game. I don't know. That just isn't what it means to me. And I've never seen the significance of having a football game on Thanksgiving. I don't know. So I don't watch football anyway, not anymore. I used to. I used to be quite a fan. I used to follow the sport quite in depth, but I don't anymore. And knowing this nonsense where now they're banning Daniel Defense off the NFL Super Bowl game, it's just one more reason why I have no use for the NFL. I don't know. To me, it's just kind of crazy. Crazy, crazy. Keep in mind, I said this earlier, but I want to repeat it a couple times. The NFL has banned a commercial, Daniel Defense, and if you go do a search on NFL banned Daniel Defense commercial, you'll see it. And it's a commercial about a guy, a veteran, who's back from his service. He's now a civilian. He's taking care of his family. And he says, I know how to defend my family. And then it shows this icon, or I should say logo of Daniel Defense, which shows a sketch of an outline of a gun. It does not show a gun. It doesn't show a real gun. Anyway, the NFL is banning this commercial. Politically correct. The NFL, I mean, it's just crazy that they think that somehow the NFL is supposed to be part of the political process. So the more political the NFL gets, the more I will go out there and ask people to not watch it. I don't watch it anyway, so It doesn't mean anything if I say I'm not going to watch it because I wasn't watching it anyway. But when they do this kind of stuff and they're going out there trying to it's okay to promote Obamacare, but they don't want to promote the Second Amendment. I just think it stinks. So keep that in mind if you decide to watch that Super Bowl. But more importantly, is don't watch it and send an email to the NFL. Go out to their website. Excuse me. Of course, they never have anything for you to call them. I don't think there's any option to call. You would have to go to their website and send them an email that way. I don't think there's any other options, but or figure some way to write to them. Well, let them know. Let them know that you think it's not right for them to get into the political arena. If they're going to promote Obamacare, then they should allow the rights to protect the Second Amendment. It's hypocritical. So anyway, on that, please do what you can to let the NFL know what you think. I'll let them know what I think sometime tomorrow. And let's see, then the other thing is, now we've already talked about Christmas, what Christmas is in America. What does it mean? What does it say about us? But then we go into the next level of what's happening to us as a society. What is happening to our culture? What is happening to our core values? And that's where we can talk about Christmas and Christianity, Hanukkah, Judaism, and Islam. What is happening to core faith in the United States of America? We believe in freedom of religion. And when you make that statement that you believe in freedom of religion, how does that impact the rule of law? What does that say about those who maybe don't believe in your faith? How do you allow those of other faiths to exist when they in fact think you should be dead? You as the Christian or you as the Jew should be dead. How do we deal with that? And I think it's a relevant thing to talk about at this time of year because you're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. Why are Americans afraid to say Merry Christmas in America in the year 2013? Because we might offend those who don't believe in it. We might offend the atheist. We might offend the Muslim, the Islamist. We might offend anybody who just doesn't believe in it. That isn't the reason. It's those kind of things that is of no harm to them if they choose not to participate. If the Christians want to celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever, then we have the right to do so. To say it is a total violation of freedom of speech to say you're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. Just, I mean, here we go. Can't say Merry Christmas. Can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Can't have a patriotic T-shirt. All these things. It's all like we're trashing the American culture in every which way we can, which includes the faith. Everybody knows we are a Christian nation. The majority of Americans at this moment are Christians. However, we're supposed to sacrifice and stop believing in order to allow those who don't believe to do what they want. And it's like, you know, we are one nation under God. God played a major role in everything to do with this country. And for those who don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus, to go out there and try to say that we have to stop believing because they don't, that's wrong. That's not freedom of religion. It's totally bogus for that to happen. And we cannot allow that to happen. That is so key to everything else that's happening. Americans, because of being extremely charitable and generous, believing in freedom of religion, and believing we want to help others in so many ways, this is why we're in the mess we're in. It's not the only reason, but everything to do with immigration, everything to do with this illegal invasion, the communist takeover of this country through the Muslim Brotherhood and others, Chinese nationals and those who don't believe anything we do as a nation, is destroying the core foundation of this country. So, are you going to say Merry Christmas or are you going to do the politically correct PC, Happy Holidays, Season's Greetings? I'm not. I mean, you know, Happy Holidays and Season's Greetings, they kind of cross over so that you're going from Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's. And I get that, but that isn't the reason most are doing it. schools that say they're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. They're not allowed to put up Christmas decorations. Oh, look who's out there. I wasn't paying any attention, and I do see my friend from Texas. I'll be with you in just one moment there, Miss Texas. But the point is, why should core American values be trashed upon, trampled, and destroyed? So the same values that made us what we are going to be used against us. There's something seriously wrong here. And that's the kind of, you know, I want to start this show off. We don't have to talk about religion and Christmas for this whole show, but I really wanted to put it out there that what are we saying about ourselves if we're willing to sacrifice our core beliefs, the belief in God, and those kinds of things, for the Muslims who come here, the Islamists, and the atheists who don't believe in any God or any other faith, the Chinese nationals who don't believe anything as we do, excuse me, other nations that don't place a value on life. So we are having a culture, having various cultures come in, corrupt the culture that we have, which says every life has value to it, that we believe in the sanctity of life. Where other cultures, well, there's too many young girls, so they just kill them. To kill the girl baby is nothing. And to, of course, on the other side, to lop off the head of the woman who's been raped, they don't think anything of it. When you're taking these kind of cultures into this, to come in here and take over the Christian values and the Jewish values of the United States, primarily Christian, it's destroying this country. And it's so symbolic of what is happening across the board of this country. We have no values anymore. We stand for nothing. We actually stood for something at one point in time, but it just doesn't seem to be that way anymore. And let's see here. Let me see if I can get Miss Texas on here and see what she's got to say. And once we finish that general discussion, then we will talk about faith in Washington, D.C., and faith in the elected public servants. Do we have faith in Washington, D.C.? No. Do we have faith in the elected public servants? No. And how does this all tie in together of what we have become as a society, as a culture, what we said we believed in at one point, what our core beliefs were, and how we've surrendered our core beliefs so that others like the Muslim Brotherhood can come in here and destroy us? I don't think that's the will of God at all. I don't believe that's what God wanted. I don't believe that's what Jesus preached. I just don't believe that. So what are we going to do when it comes to our faith, our core beliefs, and how does it reflect on us as a whole? I mean, now I've gone on a wide range here, and I have given Miss Texas all sorts of things to talk about, talking about from Black Friday and Super Bowl football, football on Thanksgiving, to a Super Bowl that won't even, has banned an ad, and to what it means for the mentality, the materialistic attitude the Americans have seemed to come superficial, and then at the same time this total takeover of our core religious beliefs. So on that note, let's see what Miss Texas has to say. Hey, Miss Texas, you're there.
Hey, Miss Sally, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was very nice, thank you. It was there was a funny story. I'll tell you one part of this. I didn't mention this in the beginning, but it was a little bit colder here in Florida, just as it was every place, but definitely not cold by any means, but not freezing like the Northeast, but it was cold, and I decided to wear these leather shoes that I have on that are winter shoes, put them on, and I'm going on. I'm on my way, and I stopped to get some gas and, you know, various things I'm taking care of as I'm getting ready to head over to Tampa, from Orlando to Tampa, to my brother's house. And all the black sole, the black rubber, is cracking and falling off the bottom of my shoes.
No!
Every step I take, there's stuff dropping off of my shoes. It was quite funny, not to mention it was kind of awkward, having half of the soul there and half of it not there. I wasn't really sure what that was meaning. It's like, okay, you're losing your souls on Thanksgiving. I wasn't sure what that meant. It was just, it was kind of a weird thing. But once I got over there, I was okay. It was a very nice, nice day with the family. So how about you?
Depressing, home by myself, kids didn't call. No turkey, no dressing. So we won't go any further with that one.
Okay. Okay. Well said.
And how old were those silly shoes?
I would say they were about 5 years old. I didn't think they were that old. Well, I'm sure I have a receipt someplace. Ever finding it would be another story. But it just, you have to see, you have to be there.
I can imagine. I would have been laughing and pointing fingers at you. But that's me. I want to say, lady, your soul is located on the bottom of your foot. It's like laying on the ground.
Exactly. What happened to my soul?
I'm going to tell you first, I cannot get signed in. It is not letting me in. So,
okay.
Now we got that out of the way. What do you want me to get on?
Hold on 1 second before you say that. I can tell you that I've been having problems with Blog Talk Radio today, too. So
okay.
I don't know what they're doing with their site. Maybe they've got the same people that work on Obamacare to work on this thing lately. I don't know.
God, are we in trouble? Yeah, they're saying it's...
Luckily, I only have one credit card out there.
They're saying it's 70% fixed, and then I heard... who said... Oh, I can't think of his name. Anyway, one of the guys I listened to at 10 o'clock in the morning says, nope, it's only 40% fixed.
They had it backwards.
News media is saying 70% fixed, but the real pros that know say 40%. Okay,
yeah,
where do you want me to go first? Because I got somewhere to go on everything you just talked about. That's on the religion.
We can just go down the list talking about Thanksgiving. We can start with the Thanksgiving, the Black Friday, shopping on Thanksgiving Day, and then we'll move into Christmas.
Okay, I'm going to be devil's advocate on the Thanksgiving thing.
Okay.
I believe that the majority, but it may not be the case now because we have so many foreigners in this country. Am I being politically incorrect? Yes, but that's okay. But I think the majority of people get together on Thanksgiving morning. I don't think the stores opened Thanksgiving morning. I think their sales started Thanksgiving evening. But the majority get together with their families, and they have their dinner, and they celebrate their, you know, their Thanksgiving. But then you eat the turkey, and it's got all that stuff in it that makes you sleepy, and people overeat, and they stuff. And the camaraderie of the family around the TV watching football has become part of the American tradition. Now, if you can sit and watch a football game with your family and have fun without World War III breaking out, then that's great. But then there are those who, if they stayed and didn't go shopping, would make the people who watch football's life so miserable. That World War III would break out. The kids get bored. You know, and so they go shopping, which I really don't have a problem with because family get-togethers are only good for so long. And after about 4 or 5 hours, it's time to do something different because then the argument starts.
Okay.
That way, did you? You know, there's ice skating on the other channels and everything. Most homes have more than one TV. But I can understand Going out shopping after I've eaten a bunch was not anything I ever wanted to do. But my daughters all had, that was their thing. And I looked at it this way. They gave me their time. We cooked together. We partake together. We sat down and started watching football together. They got bored. They went shopping. I got to babysit. Or, and vice versa, but most of the time I was in on the football watching too. But I really think it's okay. Now, to go stand in crowds for Black Friday, this year it was done differently by the stores. I went with my daughter one time. I mean, we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go stand at the door of the store to be able to get in. And used to, they only had, if they had anything on sale, any big item on sale, they only had one or two of the damn things. It didn't, you know, you had to kill yourself to get there to manage to get one. Now, I know Walmart this year, if they ran out, they were going to have a week's supply, and if they ran out, they were going to give you cards. Now, that's the only thing that makes sense about that sale. If I'm going to go to a store, it's like I told my daughter, if I'm going to go to a store and fight trampling and all this to try and get an item and have them only have one or two, it's not worth my time and effort. But there are people out there, and you can save some good money. I'm not going to say you can't. But there are people out there that get off to that. And if that's what they like to do, then they want those bruises, no scratches. Go for it.
But I would never suggest making a law against it. I just think it says a lot about the character of what we've become as a society. When it's so important to get a toy for some kid because they're going to run out, or a TV set that you want to swap
they don't have the money.
Another human.
Well, Sally, what you've got to look at is from their viewpoint. There are people who don't really have the money for this item if it weren't on sale.
If it weren't on sale, they'd never be able to buy the item. That doesn't justify trampling over people, the nutsiness of it to me. And, you know, the only reason the stores play these games is because of the moronic attitude of the shoppers to go there in a stampede. If people wouldn't do the stampede, they wouldn't play the games with the ads.
Well, if the stores were smart, they'd only allow a certain amount of people in at a time.
Well, truthfully,
that can be eliminated
because of the fire. Well,
I mean that can be eliminated. They wouldn't open the doors and let hundreds of people in.
Well, like I said,
but
then
again,
they can't allow fire hazards. There's a limit of how many people they can allow in the store because of fire hazards, so they can't let everybody in. But we all know the nutsiness of it.
Well, but the other thing is you've got to look at the generations we're talking about now. We're not talking about my generation and your generation where we were taught to have manners. You rushed in to get something, but you didn't run over somebody or knock them out of the way. You were polite about it. There is no respect, no courtesy, and no politeness in this bunch of people that goes in because you have to look at the average age of who goes in those doors.
Well, I think you're making my point.
But at the same time, we might not like it, and I think they're all idiots for doing it. I mean, I wouldn't go camp out in front of the store for 3 damn days or a week in order to get in and save. And they may be saving $100, but it's not that important to me. But if they're silly enough and they are willing to do that, more power to them.
Well, here's the deal. I would never suggest at making a law against it. It's a free society, so I would not make a law against it. I think that would be stupid. Or it would just show another decline of what we're going on to this dictatorship, communist country thing. So I would never suggest making a law against it.
But don't
no
be
more
su-
than I would ban. No,
don't
no
be
more
surprised.
Than I would ban. Okay, go ahead.
Don't be surprised if it doesn't happen.
Well, nothing would surprise me, too. The fact, I mean, here we've had people trampled to death, killed in these stampedes of people going into these stores, and they didn't do it there. So, and mostly probably because the store business doesn't want it. The, you know, the outcry of if they tried to make it. So I don't know that that would happen, but I would never promote having a law banning it, banning Black Friday sales, whatever else. And more to my point, which is everything you were saying, you were making my point, is what does it show about us as a society? If you mean to tell me you cannot take one whole day off, and a big part of that day being part of the family event, one day off from going out to that store, the superficial, materialistic, whatever, then I believe that says something about us.
Yeah,
but it shows that.
You're talking about a different day from Thanksgiving now. Black Friday
No, I'm talking about those who go shopping on Thanksgiving Day. I was talking about those who go shopping on Thanksgiving Day, and then the mob mentality, the stampedes of Black Friday. There's, because, you know, there were two things there.
I have a problem with the Thursday thing because, to me, they've given their time to the family. They've done their respectful thing, and, you know, part of them wants to watch football. The other part is bored to death, and they want to go shopping. I don't see anything wrong with it, as long as they've given their time to the family. Everybody's eating. Well, you know, some of the women are in the bed taking a nap. Men are socked out in the lounge, you know, in the recliners. Some are laying on the couch. Some are on the floor, you know. So what part of the family are you spending time with? If you go shopping, you're going with family that wants to go shopping.
Well, I'll answer that question. If it's a family gathering, if it's your core family, where it's the parents and the kids, and they're having their family dinner together at home, and nobody else is coming over, they're not going over to grandma's house, they're not having aunts and uncles and all this, you know, if there's not other family coming over, if it's truly that one family that sees each other every day of the week, then that might be a little bit different there. But if you're telling me that after I drove 2 or 3 hours to come over to visit, that all you want to do is go shopping, that isn't what, I didn't come over.
No, that's not all they wanted to do. Now, they came to share in the cooking. They came to share in the cooking. They came to eat.
That's what I'm saying now.
They visited a while, and now they're bored.
Listen to what I'm saying.
I hear what you're
saying. Well, you're telling me if you haven't visited with a family for a year, that after you cook a dinner, and all you do is cook a dinner together, and that's it? You don't have anything to talk about?
Oh, I said you sit around and visit for a while, and then you get bored. Part of the family goes to take a nap.
Maybe your dinners are
including
that
the people that you come to see and visit with. They're in taking a nap.
I don't think we should downgrade what the meaning of the event is. When you go to church on Sunday, which, as I said, I don't go to church. I don't go to a regular church. If you go to church on Sunday, and as you're walking in, they have a retail store for you to buy stuff before you leave, I think that's tacky.
But you're putting the cart before the horse.
No, I don't think so.
Well, we found another.
There used to be.
Disagree.
You may recall there used to be a time when most stores were closed on Sunday.
I understand that. I know that, and I hated it with a purple passion. Now that I'm older, I understand it. And sometimes I wish that was still the case. But the world changes. And so we have to, as much as we don't like it, accept what the younger generation, which is who we were at one time and we no longer are, has turned to find as important to them. Now,
well,
do
and
we
your
always
answer, everything? Yeah, go
no.
ahead. What?
I said, do we always agree with what the younger generation wants to do? No. But we were the younger generation at one time. We started the football watching.
Well, I didn't, but that's another story.
You said you watched football. You are.
When
I know
younger, I didn't. It was,
you remember
it was
the.
Then, it was about 4 or 5 years where I got into it and followed it and learned the game enough to follow it. And when I was a kid, I did not watch football. I couldn't stand it. It wasn't until I got a little bit older that I started to watch it. And then, and because so many people I knew were into it, you kind of had to because that's what everybody was doing. I would have never on my own taken it up to go do it. Everybody was, and I started to follow it, and I did enjoy it as entertainment.
I did the same thing. But I know that you remember the first Super Bowl. I was not a big football fan. But I remember the first Super Bowl. And I remember the excitement, and I remember the joy of fighting with everybody on who was going to win and who wasn't going to win. And that was the fun of it.
Well, in my case, my father didn't watch any sports. He thought baseball was one of the stupidest games there was, so he never watched any sports.
Mm.
My mother was a baseball fanatic. She hated football. So in the overall scheme of things, I did not watch the Super Bowls. It wasn't until, like I say, a few years later that I watched some of them and got into it and started to understand the game and watch it. For entertainment, it's an entertaining sport. The reasons I don't like football today isn't so much because of the sport itself, even though I do get more and more concerns about all the brains that are being smashed out there on the field. They get paid a lot of money to smash their brains up, so if that's what they want to do, I guess.
Somebody today about that. They're grown men. They know what they're getting into when they get into it. If they realize that it's something that could hurt them, it's their decision to make whether or not if that almighty dollar is that much more important than their own safety. It's not our decision to impose that on them. And I say that because I am tired of nannyism.
I am too. And as I said, the reason I started to dislike football so much and not just football, but pro sports, is because I don't think I, as a taxpayer, should have to pay for their stinking stadiums and all the other crap. And the more I get into what they do that way, all the crap they do, I grew a distaste for them and don't watch them anymore. I don't think I should have to pay to support the billionaires. But as adult men, women, whatever, that are out there out playing any of these games, if you want to go smash your heads, if you're dumb enough to believe that helmet's going to protect you all the way through, then go for it. But don't blame anybody else years later when your brain is damaged. I mean, you pounded your head, and that's between the turf and the ground and the other players, you know. So I'm in total agreement. You and I are in total agreement. In a free society, you have the right to do stupid things. The question comes when it comes to football is what they do with these kids, because they're doing this to these kids younger and younger because mom and dad want their kid to play in the NFL so they'll be rich. And I think that's pretty sick. And again, it goes into the society. What you're saying, though, so far, everything you said has only supported what I'm saying. Yes, we have a younger generation who has some different values. I think those values are part of what's the decline of this country. We have no values anymore, which is my point, that it's more important to go shopping and buy something than it is to care about those within your family and spend the time with your family. And the same is true for everything we do at Christmas. And I hope
we're arguing over a basic in what you consider enough time and what I consider more than enough time.
Well, some families don't like each other. if you can't stand to be around family members, then I wouldn't go.
Well, I can stand to be around family, but like I said, after a while, because we know in every family,
it's only a 24-hour day. We're not asking you to live with them. It's a 24-hour day. The travel time, the meal time, there isn't that much time left. But if it's more important to go shopping and buy the superficial stuff at the store than to spend time with family, then I think that says something about our society.
Well, I think that if I still gave them my time and they're all bailed out in the bed sleeping and I'm bored silly, then I'm going to go spend some damn money if I've got any money to spend.
And maybe there's going to be a time when I'm that bored, but right now in my own situation, if I was to have an hour's time to myself to have my one-on-one with God and to spend a few moments to think about what all is going on, One hour, I going shopping for 1 hour wouldn't do me any good anyway.
Well,
so
that probably has a lot to do with it also, see. It just depends on the situation because, my family, we used to get along good, but the older we get, the worse we get. And, you know, get there and spend 3 or 4 hours with them eating and visiting and catching up and then beginning to reminisce and then the hard feelings come out and then you want to, you know, jackslap somebody, which we actually don't do, but it doesn't say the want isn't there. And, you know, Black Patches is telling you about it again. But, you know, like I said, I can understand it.
If I felt that much ill tension towards the family, I probably wouldn't go there personally. But that's me. I wouldn't go there out of total eyes, if I will. I wouldn't go there out of obligation. Well, Jesus, Thanksgiving, I have to go there even though I can't stand looking at their stupid faces. I want to leave there as soon as I can. I'm going to go stuff some food in my face when I leave. I wouldn't go there for that. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I can't stand the
stupid faces. It's just after a while. You know, they want to talk about stuff and bring up old wounds and old stuff. And, you know, it happens. And it's happened for years with my family. And we managed to get through eating. And when we managed, you know, we end up having a decent time. Not anything I regret. But when you get a break and you get a chance to run out and get a breather and come back and be happy and start all over again, I think you're smart for taking it. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's your opinion.
Okay.
I'm going to say, you're only supporting everything I'm saying. Is that a
no? I'm not.
The culture and you're supporting what I'm saying.
Anytime after 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Thanksgiving Day, go for it.
Well, in my own case, depending on if the travel time and stuff like that, I'm may not be there till 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Very rarely, usually the dinner is around 2 o'clock. And then to take the time of the dinner, I always help clean up. I don't sit there. I don't take off out the door as soon as I finish eating.
You don't say hi bye,
clean up. Ma'am? What's that?
I said you don't say hi bye, thank you, ma'am. Hi bye,
well,
thank you, ma'am. It was good, but I gotta go.
Well, I don't do that. That's what you do.
No, not that I'm old. Now that I'm older and wiser, I don't. But, I don't do that. I've never done that. I've always been one that went in and helped. I'm like you. I went in and helped with the kitchen and you know, did what needed to be done. But part of
the
family was like that.
The day before, I was baking banana bread and some other things to take over, so I was thinking 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Our meal was usually done by, we're usually on the table by 1 o'clock. So, you know, that's time for dishes, time to get stuff done, time for the guys to fall out and go to sleep. And women sit around and talk for a while, and then all of a sudden this one disappears to this bedroom and this one disappears to that bedroom. And you turn around and look, hell, everybody's gone. Sleeping.
Yeah, if that was the case, I'd go home.
No, go shopping.
Whatever.
Nah, I never had the money to go shopping, so I went home. But I just sat around. We'd play cards or, you know, somebody'd get a card game going or, you know, something like that. But I just think it's different strokes for different folks, and I don't think Thanksgiving Day is a total bust for people. As far as our respect for, now, if you don't have turkey and dressing and you don't do something that is, I'm big on tradition, and if you can't do something traditional, then I have a problem. Now, that's where I will get in trouble with people because I think there's a tradition that should be followed in this country, and I don't think it is enchiladas and tamales, and I don't want that on my table. If you put that on my table, it would immediately get picked up and thrown out the door. But that's me.
Well, that's fine. The traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
And that's why I say to me that teaches the children. That to me, that's a teaching aspect of your Thanksgiving meal. This is what the pilgrims did. This is the meal that, you know, they didn't have the green bean casserole and all that stuff. But you teach them what the traditional meal was and talk about it and what they're doing. And you talk about family and what your past family members that have gone on, you know, what they did and how we did things and everything. And that teaches the kids value.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not in as much a disagreement. And like I said, I would never make a law against the stores opening on Thanksgiving. I would never suggest that. I just sometimes think we get people who go flying out there to shop on Thanksgiving because they're afraid they're going to miss a deal, whatever, which is the extreme of what happens on Black Friday. I just think it makes us a very superficial, materialistic society, and I think that's a decline of what we have become overall. I think you can see that materialistic attitude in so many ways. Look at, which takes us into the Christmas. What is the meaning of Christmas? And I admit that I give way too many gifts, so I shouldn't do as much as I do. I happen to enjoy giving gifts. Some people hate it. Some people can't stand to go shop for people. They'd rather go to the store and buy a bunch of gift cards and hand them out.
No, I think that's rude. I don't want a gift.
So
if you don't know me well enough and consider me a good enough friend to know who I am and what I'm about, then we're not really friends.
Well,
and that's just the way, that's the way I look at it. You know, I take it as, and you might call it I'm wrong in this thinking, I think. I don't think it's right to just hand someone that you call a friend and you're supposed to care about a damn gift card. Oh, pardon my French. I did it. To me, it's just not right because you're not showing any consideration. You're not showing any thoughtfulness. It's like, well, here, I bought this here. I couldn't think, I really didn't have time and I didn't stop and take the time to think about how important you are to me and what it is you might like and dislike. And we've gotten lazy.
Well, the stores like it. Yeah, the stores make out like a killing on it. I have done gift cards in certain circumstances because it actually was what they needed. For example, when my nephew was off at college, he was always broke, so I gave him a gift card to Cracker Barrel so I could help him have a few meals.
but in that instance, you knew what he needed.
Right.
Go out and say, oh, you waited till 2 hours before the stores closed, and you didn't stop and think about what it was you were going to give for a gift. So the easiest thing was just grab a damn gift card and give to them.
Exactly.
And that's where
I'm coming from. Right, and exactly. I'm exactly the same with you. To just go out and say, oh, okay, I'm just going to go to the store, buy 10 gift cards. Here you go, have them all, whichever. To me, that is very impersonal, and it shows that you didn't even take the time to consider. And again, I've given gift cards when it was very specific like that, or somebody I knew liked a certain restaurant. I gave them that since I couldn't exactly take them out to dinner at Christmas.
It was something that they would really appreciate.
Exactly. So
wasn't the, well, I don't know what to give them, I'll just get them a gift card and get it over with.
Yeah. In the past, the same people would put a $5 bill, $10 bill, $20, whatever it was in an envelope or in a card. Here you go. That's it.
Well, to me, the gift card is taking place of the envelope, because all they do now is just, you know, put the gift card, and they don't even bother to get a card to go with it. They just hand it to you. Here,
exactly.
I went to the store. You know.
Exactly.
Got you this. Go get what you want. I didn't know what to get you.
Exactly. When they say, oh, I didn't know what to get you, so here you go. So I don't think that's it either. Again, that's not, to me, the spirit of giving.
No.
It's not. And what does it say about us as a society when that is the attitude? Ah, it's just a hassle. I got to spend money. I got to go get you something, so here you go. Stuff it. I mean, it's just kind of the way it feels.
Well, I also look at it as being, well, I have to spend this damn money, and I'd rather be spending on myself. That's
so
just me.
You,
you know, but that's what I see when I see gift card, that, you know, and the people that don't like to go buy gifts because they're too selfish. They'd rather be spending the money on themselves.
That, and they don't think about others. They don't know how to think about others in terms of what would this other person want. What would be, this is a person that I care about, so what would they like? What would be something nice I could give them that they would not get for themselves? So I go
exactly.
And I find something that they would want, didn't have, couldn't have, or whatever, and then that's how I pick the gift.
Yeah, because you can always, you know, it's like my daughter tried that routine one year. And she said, well, I don't want to get them. I said, there is a return policy at most stores. Get what you think they might like. If they don't like it, they have the option of taking it back if they want to. But, you know, make them feel like you give a damn. Well, I didn't think about it that way. I said, well, duh. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So, again, we come to...
Well, if I came in and handed you, but I'd like it. I said, well, you would. Turd.
So it comes down to what does it mean about us as a culture as to how we have diminished what the core meaning of Christmas was and how we've made it so superficial, materialistic, commercialized, whatever you want to call it. How does that reflect on us as a society at large? Does this not seem to be a reflection of what we have become in a value system? What does it mean about our core values?
Well, that argument's been going on for a long time, because I remember my parents talking about it, but not as much as me when I got older. And I think we all thought about this, but I don't think it was has been as big an issue as it is now because of George H.W. Bush, who's standing in front of the podium, and I'll never forget the day he did that, and said, Happy Holidays. And informed us that we would need to start saying happy holidays in order to not make other people feel bad because they didn't believe in our Christmas. And you know what I said. I don't have to tell you what I said to that TV the day he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I look at it this way. Everybody has their right to believe in their own God. Everybody has a right to not believe in their own God. That is why we are America. We do not need, and I don't care who says we do not need permission to pray to our God. It is written in our Constitution, whether they like it or not, let me get it out of my mouth here in a minute. our elected officials are the ones who have made this a bigger issue, because they have not done jobs as our elected officials that we elected into office to support and defend our Constitution and our rights as citizens of this great country.
And as those who come to this country, those who immigrate to this country, and instead of not to become Christians if they weren't, but instead of embracing being what an American is, they expect Americans to change for them. You came to America, either legally or illegally, you came to America. Well, if you didn't want to be an American, why did you come here? So we have this attitude that everybody in America is supposed to change for the person who comes here. No, you
well,
come here because you said you wanted to be an American.
Right. And again, this goes back to George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Because he brought politically correct to the forefront. And the day I heard that, and he said that at the same time that he was talking about being politically correct. And
that's, it's totally anti-American and wrong.
Exactly. And like little sheep, as you call them, sheeple, the people of this country, instead of doing what I did, when I turned to that TV and I said, George H.W. Bush, kiss my butt. It's Christmas. It will always be Christmas. And you are not changing my mind. But the other people in this country, well, the president said. Well, Mickey Mouse said, but I don't do everything Mickey Mouse said to do.
He's the president is not the God. He's not. He doesn't walk on water. He's not the king.
And he
works for us. The people.
And their first
don't.
Response to that should have been, I think, as mine was, "Who in the hell do you think you are? What president is going to stand up there and tell us to give up our rights, our Christianity, in order to appease other people of other countries? They know what they're doing when they come here. We don't tell them to come here and give up their religion. We don't tell them to come here and they can't practice their faith. We should have restrictions on, and there are cities and towns right now that aren't doing this, on not accepting any foreign law to govern our country and to be accepted within our, within our counties, within our counties, other than the laws of America. Because that's why in Michigan, and where was it, that guy chopped that guy's head off in the middle of the street because he wasn't a believer?
Right.
You know, that's not the way we do things. And we should not be asked to accept that as
exactly.
A way to do things. In other words, no. In other words, somebody should have stood up and said, no, this is not going to happen. This is America, and we don't do things this way.
Yeah, where's George Bush when all this is happening? It's like, well, okay, so you think it's because you don't want to offend somebody of their religious beliefs, it's okay for them to come chop someone's head off because they don't like them? Or the honor killings because the girl was no longer a virgin or whatever other nonsense?
Well,
in the
streets, I can't remember what state it was in. It may have been Texas. I can't remember what state it was in, but that was because the person thought he was infidel because
he
didn't believe
the infidel.
Yeah, he was killing them. No, they didn't believe in their form of belief. And what happened? Did you see the news media go crazy over this? No. Did you see anybody broadcasting how bad it was? We want to go out and have him tried. We want to have him hung from the nearest tree. And you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't see that happening in America. Now,
exactly.
And the question, why? And I'm going to give you the answer. Because the man we have sitting in the office, in the Oval Office of our great country, is a Muslim. And as long as he's sitting there, nothing will ever be done. That's why he's giving Iran what they want. That's why he's going over to all these countries that we've never had anything to do with. We've had sanctions on them. We've considered them nothing but troublemakers. And all he's going over there for is to suck up to them.
Exactly. We have never had, I mean, George Bush was bad enough. I mean, I'm thinking, when was the last really decent president we had? I mean, I haven't liked any of them lately. Reagan was probably one of the better ones, and then before him. But I couldn't stand Clinton. I couldn't stand Bush. I can't stand this guy. So pretty disgusting to me as to what they have all done in their own rights to destroy this country. Excuse me.
Well, it's disgusting, but it's also sad when you've got more than a when one side gets to do one thing and the other side does something else, and if the other side does something else, it's against the law. Two different sets of morals, two different sets of rules.
Yeah, well, there is no rule of law. It's
well, yeah, there is. But what's okay for the Democrat is not okay for the Republican. What's good for the liberal is not good for the conservative. You know, that's why they trashed the Tea Party. They want everybody to think, you know, we're a bunch of mongers out there. We hate everybody. We don't want anything. And they know that's
so false,
why.
Too. Well, they do, but look at it. They know that it's so false. What today's GOP is nothing. I don't think Martin Luther King would be a Republican today. I don't know that Abraham Lincoln would be. But you go back and what the Republican Party started out to be, it was the true liberator of the middle class, not the Democrats. But because of the crazy media we have, it doesn't report the facts at all. You know,
well,
people forget it was a Republican. They forget that Lincoln was a Republican.
That's true. But again, you're back down to where are the people? You know, if I had the courage, and the only reason I only said it to the TV and not to the rest of the world was because I didn't have the coverage people on TV's got. But if I would have had, the courage, like I have the courage now, to tell George H.W. Bush, he's turned out to be the sorriest president we ever had. And then along comes his son.
Yep.
And I have to say, next to Clinton, I mean, Clinton wins the door prize. And why people cannot remember that this man had sex in the White House. This man lied under oath to cover his ass.
Well.
And there's still.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a minute because, not in a one-to-one kind of thing, but that's kind of my point here. Americans have lost any core principles or core values. That's I think this season is a reflection of how we have lost these values. And this is, and when you go and you look at what these people in public office have become, it's all symbolic of what we as a culture have become. Because how many people don't seem to think there's a big deal about him doing that? I mean, how many people just act like, oh, that was no big deal, and yet they would, I mean, look at the money he makes for making appearances. I mean, I wouldn't pay a dime to see that guy. The whole thing is pretty sick. But what does it say about us as a society?
Well, because money drives everything, and that's why you've got all these people out there that are willing to stand up and lie through their front teeth and tell you how good Obamacare is going to be. Because they're all looking for something for nothing.
Exactly. We as a society have failed, as a culture of any core values. The core values of this country are sending down to nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that we haven't failed, but I'm going to say we've had a lot of help. And I'm going to say that because, how am I going to say this? Because our kids, we have failed to recognize what's going on in the schools, and we're just now realizing it, and we're just now starting out, and we're running behind. As the old saying goes, we're sucking hind tit here.
Mm-hmm. Common core. Common core is just the frosting on the cake of what's been happening to education all along. The dumbing down of Americans started a long time ago.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm glad we're just kind of having this open discussion because I want to bring something up. I sit and watch TV. And I'm watching reporters. Do you really? Yeah, I do. I'm sitting and watching reporters out there that I know are older than me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to this reporter say, they texted me. And I'm going, they what? They texted me. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I do not know anywhere claim to be an expert in grammar, but I do remember this gray-headed lady that I thought was 100 years old standing up in front of the classroom and teaching me that there were certain words in our language that presented their own past, present, and future tenses. You didn't add ED to them. Now, I'm watching this man sit up and read this crap and act like he knows what he's doing. Now, who has been dumbed down the furthest? The man that's reading the text? Who's the smartest? That, well, the one that wrote the stupid news article in the first place.
Well,
and
it's showing that.
Huh?
I was going to say that it goes to show the education, grammar, reading, and writing are not the important things.
But where's the logic? This man has the same education I do. He grew up going to school in the same years that I did. He listened to a teacher just like I did with gray hair stand up in front of the classroom and taught him the same thing that teacher taught me. Now, where did the rest of his education go?
Who was this who said this?
All you have to do is watch any of them.
I see a lot of it. Well, exactly. When it comes to proper grammar and that stuff, it's terrible.
Yeah, but
it's not.
Okay. I don't think you're getting the point. The point here is this man is an educated person, and he knows that that's wrong when he looks at it. But yet, he doesn't have the courage, the gumption, I could say some other words, but I'm not going to do it, to say to the guy who wrote the article for him to read, this is not right, and I'm not going to read it. You're not going to make me go out there and look like an idiot.
Well, you never know. He may have wrote it himself.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I'm not going to believe that this man who is his, you know, I'm 69 years old, and I know some of these reporters are my age, and you've got some out there. Who's the one that does the talk, the gray-haired one, the 100-year-old one that's still out there, Schieffer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Schieffer is sitting there using this grammar.
Well, and that stuff, I think, was in the case of someone such as his, as that guy, I think it's more to do with technology that he thinks the word has changed, because let's face it, back when he was going to school, nobody was texting messages back and forth.
It does not matter. The school teacher sat up in there and taught you, and you know why? Because I argued with her. Did you really? Yeah, I did. I argued with her. I said, this makes no sense to me. One day you're teaching me one thing, and the next day you're teaching me something that tells me what I learned yesterday was wrong. Now tell me how this makes any sense. And I remembered that argument. But I learned it. And because that was what I was taught was the correct grammar for the United States, it comes from the old English grammar, and we didn't look like a bunch of babbling idiots.
True.
And in my eyes today, we look like a bunch of babbling idiots. Can you imagine what the Queen Mary is thinking as she sits over there here and saying, we texted, and I want some of these ones. You heard that one lately? These ones?
Oh, yeah. I've heard some terrible grammar. I know that.
But it's being taught. There's a guy out there who wrote a book, and these idiots are going by it, and he made the comment, I read an article on him, and he made a comment that was his goal in life was to see that our language was all made the same. In other words, there was no rules that changed anything. And that Mexico had been working on it for years, and they finally got theirs accomplished, and they're on the way to making us, our grammar, and I'm going to say, dumbing it down so people don't have to think about what they're saying.
Exactly.
You know, we always had slang. There's going to be slang. There will always be slang. But there's a difference between slang and being lazy, and when you get in another place and around a group of people where you know you have to use good grammar, that you have the ability to do that.
When I would hear someone say some really bad grammar, make some really stupid comments, I'd say something back to them, well, I ain't never been no good at talking.
Yeah, but Sally, it goes deeper than that. If it was just a matter of that, it would be a different thing, but it's not. It's a matter of this is being done intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
There is a purpose for it, and it is to make us look dumb.
Well, the dumbing down of Americans. That's
exactly.
The other thing that I just heard talking about dumbing down, Common Core. Common Core, a child could say 3 times 4 equals 11 and still be able to pass. They would still get credit if they could say how they did that. Well, wait a minute. If they told you how they did it, they wouldn't have come up with 11. So how could they ever say 3 times 4 is 11 and still get credit for it?
For the first thing,
that's what Common Core does.
Okay, that's even more reason to fight it. Because for the first time, why are you going to give that student credit for anything if they got the thing wrong in the first silly place.
Exactly. But the logic was, what we, as and you and I have talked on this show before, we can't tell the student that they didn't know something. We can't do anything that's going to mess up their self-esteem, so they say. But really, it's the dumbing down. And if they're going to explain it, or 3 times 4 is 3, whichever way you want to say it, 4, 4, 4, or 3, 3, 3, 3, if they added those numbers together, they what would it add up to? If they still added up to 11, then there's something wrong.
I'm telling you.
3 times 3, 3 times 4. Yeah.
But
they would still get credit.
It's giving me a headache. It's gotten so dumb. And we have because we've sat back. I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. But we've sat back because we honestly trusted the people that we elected to office. We had no idea that we were going to elect, and I'm going to get politically incorrect here again, we were going to elect the first black president in this country that people thought was here to try to set, I'm going to say, a precedence, okay? In order, and we thought we were doing the right thing. And I'm saying we because I wasn't among those. But, you know, we honestly thought we were doing a good thing. But the man has come in here and proven to us we were the biggest walking, talking bunch of dummies that ever was. And he's still proving it to us. Because we have a bunch of elected officials sitting up there. All they're doing is counting their pennies. They're counting how many more terms they've got before they're going to draw that $100,000 a year pension. And they're not doing anything. The man has changed a law. A law has been passed. Once a law is a law. But King Obama is saying, okay, AFL-CIO, you don't have to participate in this. Okay, big business, you don't have to participate in Obamacare. Okay, teachers, you know, okay, certain group of people, you get to wait until January or February to participate in this. But all the rest of you can, you have to. Well, I didn't think he could arbitrarily change a law like that, but I don't hear anyone raising hell about it.
You hear it mentioned from time to time, but not enough to do anything to stop it. I mean, I have heard, of course, Rand Paul has said he doesn't have the authority. Ted Cruz has said it. Mike Lee has said it. There's actually been a fair amount that have said it. I haven't seen them do a lot about it.
That's the point. You haven't seen anyone get off their butt and say, okay, guy, we've had enough. You know, we're toast. We're done. You know, you've played this Mickey Mouse little game with us for as long as you're going to. We're fixing to pull the rug out from underneath you. Now, they say that there's, you know, a possibility of an impeachment down the road, blah, 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 blah. Where? When? Where's the action? I don't see it.
Should be now, but I don't see it either.
And I don't see people. That's like, if enough people would get the courage to stand up and be counted and to say, we're done, then maybe, just maybe, someone down the road would figure it out that we're getting serious about the fact that we're toast.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you. And you know what? Hey, I said I'm not doing the Obamacare thing. I mean, I'm not going to comply, so I may end up in jail. I hope I won't be alone there, but I may be.
Well, I'll bring you a banana cake, banana nut cakes with a saw in it. Oh, hell, I might find an excuse to get in there, and they really would have a problem on their hands at this that time. And we don't want those two crazy heifers in here. No.
it's everything is so wrong with what he has done, and yet you're right. Again, it just all comes to what have we become as a society? What happened to what we believed in? What happened to having some kind of honor, that oath, that sworn oath of office these people take? Whatever happened to that?
Happened to that was we didn't have the Internet. If the Internet had not come along, Sally, we'd be in a hell of a lot worse shape than we're already in. At least we have had 8 years. We snapped after, what, the first 2 years he was in office or the first year? And if we hadn't had the Internet, and if we hadn't realized what was going on, we'd already be clicking our heels saying, "Heil Hitler." No, "Heil Obama."
Yeah.
You know, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yeah.
You know, but at least it came along. We're aware. Now the great disappointment is in the fact that even though we're aware, people are not willing to fight.
It's getting there. All I can say is it's better than it was, and when you really think it was George H.W. who got us into Agenda 21, and how many of us never knew a clue about that until the Internet? We had no clue what that truly meant. And you think about all the time since then, but we do have people waking up now. And it's going on both sides of the aisle, and the moderates, whatever you want to call it, especially because this Obamacare is nothing like what they said. So now they're taking away the doctors. There's not going to be any health care at all. And all the issues with health care, I mean, the insurance industry was such a negative for health care in so many ways. What it should have been versus what it turned out to be and all the fraud, there's so many pieces to it. And, you know, people, this pre-existing condition thing, this is one of these that they needed to change the law, but you can't go and make a blanket statement about it either. And, you try to talk to people, it's like, well, okay, now I've never had insurance for the individual who never bought insurance, not me, but just as the example. I never bought any insurance, but then all of a sudden I get cancer, then I go buy insurance. Well, it's there's something wrong there, too. You can't go and say, well, now that I need insurance, you can't go and make it such a blanket statement for pre-existing when you never had any. But the bad part was, and this happened to people I knew, they'd work at one place, they'd have insurance there, then they'd go someplace else and wouldn't have it, and then a pre-existing condition would be rejected there, even though they had had health insurance coverage all the time, but through some other company. So that was the pre-existing condition part that should not have been allowed. But if you go out there for 50, 60 years and you never had any insurance and then you get cancer and you decide to go buy insurance, that pre-existing condition thing can't be the same. It's not the same to say, well, now I need insurance, now give it to me.
Well, that's human nature. You know, they put it off. And I've been in those shoes. I mean, my first husband and I, when we were kids, we worked for companies that didn't offer insurance, and back then not every company had to offer insurance. I mean, there were a lot of companies that did, and they were great companies. My dad worked for DuPont, and DuPont Chemical Company at that time, back then, carried their own insurance. They had their own insurance plans, and we had the best insurance in the world. But it's not hard to figure out what happened. What happened was the government should have shut down, or they controlled everything else, but they forgot to tell the insurance companies, "Hey, guys, you're not going to walk over the American public like this. We're not going to let you get away with this." They forgot to do that. So it became a monopoly. They realized they can control with their money, because they're putting it in the pockets the people we are voting for and electing, and we don't realize what's going on because nobody ever told us they could do that. You know, that was another little ball game that we learned the hard way. And it's just, it's gone nuts, Sally.
Well, there's so many self-serving individuals out there at all levels. I mean, the media was supposed to be the watchdog. The media is now nothing but a PR department for the public servants, the elected. So that part of it, too. And, you know, growing up, the media was the freedom of the press. This is what was protecting us, and this is what made sure we knew what was going on and the rights and this and that. And then you realize that the media is for sale, too. So, I mean, there's so many pieces to it, how it all happened. And when it comes to insurance, I've said it before and I'll say it again. To me, HMOs and health, that kind of mentality of health management organizations and whatever else, there's this mentality, they wanted to call it wellness or whatever. It started promoting go to the doctor whether you need to or not. Don't wait until you're sick to go. Just go so you can go. Go so you can get your money's worth. Go. All the stupid mentality of what going to the doctor was supposed to be about, I believe, has been another big problem. And I would kind of be interested in listening to Dr. Ron Paul talk about health care, because he talks a lot about how it has declined as what the doctor, what the care provider was doing. Medical professional and what it is today. The whole thing is just, it's everything to do with healthcare is messed up, and it all because of money. It all comes around to money one way or another. But I always thought healthcare, HMOs, I thought were a big decline, and they put a lot of stress on the finance.
Well, I think HMOs were the biggest joke in the whole damn world.
Yeah.
That was a walking, talking, let me screw you idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all they were good for. I mean, why do I want someone sitting in an office telling me what damn doctor I can go see? Just explain that to me. Why do I want some 26-year-old kid, dry behind the ears, don't know, don't know it. Behavioring.
Book smart, but not experience.
Well, and they're not even book smart. They've got a thing in front of them that's written for them, what to say, how to say it, when to do it, take a pause here, take a pause there, don't do this, don't do that. And it's kind of like calling a tech support.
Yeah.
Like calling tech support. How many times you got a whole tech support, and hell, before it's all over with, you realize you knew more than tech did? Because they're reading out of the same manual that you should have been reading out of, but you didn't do it.
Yeah, so I mean, healthcare as a whole, our whole attitude towards it, everything to do with it is messed up. It really is. And I mean, to me, health insurance to me is for that catastrophic stuff, where hopefully you don't have a disaster, you don't have a critical accident where you're paralyzed and those kind of things. That's what, to me, that is supposed to be for. But
well, I see, and I can't go there with you, and I'm going
to
tell you why.
Listen to what I'm saying now. Listen to what I'm saying.
I heard what you just said.
This mentality of HMOs that made you have to pay so much, that caused a lot of the hikes in prices, too. What caused everything? I don't think, personally, I should not have to buy maternity insurance because I really don't plan on having a baby anytime soon.
I agree with. I mean, why should men
have
to buy maternity? Now, if he's married?
What I want. What's that?
I said, if the man's married and got a wife, yeah, they need maternity. But if you're a single man and you're not married, then why in the hell do you need maternity? I mean, this is just something stupid within this health bill that Obama and them have come up with. And
well, if you're married and you're 80, I don't think you need it either, but maybe it may, you know, a miracle could happen.
Well, now, they have had reports years ago of a man having a child. Two children, as a matter of fact.
Well, yeah.
90 years old.
His wife or somebody who wasn't under the policy.
You're under the policy. Anyway, you work in the health insurance. Are you sell health insurance?
What's that?
I said, do you sell health insurance?
No. No way.
No, but, you know, when I was a kid, and my husband and I, we were first married, going to the doctor's office, I could afford the initial visit. But when it came to paying for all the rest of that stuff, we went from paycheck to paycheck, and that did not include a doctor's visit. That did not include a hospital visit where major medical didn't kick in. Now, all hospital visits back then included major medical. And we did not have it. There was no way. So to me, this is where you need regular health insurance. And to me,
but it's the choice. Donald Trump. Let's talk. I'm definitely not Donald Trump by any means. Donald Trump. Do you think he can afford his basic health care, or do you think he needs to go out there and get a big insurance policy to cover everything? I mean,
well,
there's
we weren't talking Donald Trump's. We were talking Donald Trump doesn't need health insurance. Period.
Yeah, I think he's
Donald
Trump, sure, but he can easily afford it anyway. So.
Donald Trump does not need to draw Social Security. Now I'm feeling on that.
But regardless of Social Security, hopefully he doesn't draw it, but he doesn't need it. But when it comes to health care, at some point he may become sick. So that regardless of how much money he has, there's a time he could become sick. The question is, how does he pay for it? Social Security is something that he should never need unless he really does something stupid. So there's two different things there. But when it comes to health care, is he self-insured and he can cover his own bills, or does he need to go buy Obamacare?
No, but he's one of those that's not going to have to worry about it.
Well, he can go buy his own. We know that. But I'm going back to what the initial point was. Because of the craziness of what they do, covering all medical, they made all the medical go up. They made you lose more money out of your paycheck because now they're taking out more for it. When I believe you as the individual should have the choice to pay for the basic stuff yourself and not pay insurance, because if you took the same money, if you were paying whatever it was for the sake of the discussion, say you were paying $200 a month that was deductible out of your paycheck for full-blown health insurance. If you could have taken $100 a month and put it into catastrophic insurance, took the other $100 and put it into the bank yourself, you could have paid your own medical stuff a lot cheaper and a lot better and had your own choice.
Okay, and I agree with you 100% on that, but let's get realistic. Is a 20-year-old going to take and have $20 to $200 once he takes that $200 out of their paycheck? Are they going to save it?
They weren't going to pay it anyway. They weren't buying it one way or the other. They weren't buying catastrophic, and they weren't buying the other. So, no, they weren't going to save it.
They
didn't have it either way. They didn't have it to pay through the job, and they didn't have it after that. There wasn't enough money, period. So that's why which goes into the other problem. The younger people should actually be paying the least, so that most of them could afford it, so they'd be putting something into the bank, into the insurance bucket, if you will. But the mentality is to do just the other way around, to penalize them for not needing it so that they can cover the other. Everything to do with it's all backwards. But, I mean, truthfully, at a younger age, the insurance company should be trying to get the younger people on for a lot less than what the older people are.
I think they should be on for a lot less. And the reason being, they're not going to get sick. But it may happen that they do get sick, and if they do get sick, then they're going to need some type of coverage.
Well,
and,
exactly.
You know, they're not going to have the money in their pocket. And the hospitals, I'm sure, would much rather they walk in and have a few bucks to pay on the hospital bill besides just sticking it to them, and that's what three-quarters of them do.
Well, and that goes to the point. The younger people, the insurance industry, did not go after the younger people with the less expensive insurance. They didn't do anything at all, as far as I'm concerned, when they should have been trying to bring the younger people in at a lower rate.
Well, but they're concerned. The only thing they're concerned about, the only thing that they're concerned about right now, Sally, is getting the older people, such as myself and other people, off of the health rolls. That's what they're worried about. They're not worried about anything else. That's the first thing they're going to do.
The only way you're going to get off the health rolls is if something happens where you no longer need any health care at all.
Well, if they don't give you coverage and you can't be treated after a certain age, they're going to eliminate you.
Well, that's part of Obamacare, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's what they're doing.
You're talking about Obamacare. I was talking about the insurance industry at large. What the problem is with the insurance industry. I wasn't talking about Obamacare.
I roamed off into the other land.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying Obamacare is totally backwards, but prior to Obamacare, the insurance industry never tried to help the younger, healthier individuals out there get the insurance either.
They didn't have to. The government never stepped in. No elected official out there stepped in and say, hey, guys, you're going to quit messing with the people.
But you're missing the point. Depending on the age of the individual, obviously, 15 years
right.
old, they really don't have a whole lot of money for health insurance to be deducted out of their paycheck. But a young adult,
I'm talking in generalities. I'm talking about what I'm getting around to, and I'm not saying it very well, is that we never clamped down on the insurance companies as we should have in the first place.
Well, again,
should have been taken away from the insurance companies.
Well, so then you support socialized insurance like Obamacare.
No.
You just said you're going to take it away from the insurance companies. That's what Obamacare
I said
does.
We're going to clamp down on them. We're going to put some restrictions in there to where they've got to do what's right instead of doing what they damn well please. I mean, we did it to the banks. Why can't we do it to the insurance companies?
Well, without a doubt, but it's we. Of course, you and I both know the answer to both of those. Dodd-Frank is one of these stupid multi-thousand-page documents that's been the absolute stupidest thing they could have done to banking. And all the regulations in banking has screwed us over more than it's helped us in the overall scheme of things. There should be certain regulations out there. That makes sense. But what they do, what government does, is the same thing as Dodd-Frank is Obamacare to banks. And Obamacare is what Dodd-Frank is to healthcare in the industry. But the number one thing there should have been, see, there's this thing called the Commerce Clause. I'm sure you've heard of it many a times. Nancy Pelosi has no clue what it really means. But if they would have truly used the Commerce Clause the way they should have, it would have allowed states to insurance companies to sell insurance across state borders. But the states
exactly.
are the ones who control the monopolies and all that kind of garbage. So those kind of regulations definitely should have been there. And when it comes to if somebody goes and buys insurance from you and this and that, and there's all these stipulations, no, they shouldn't be allowed to say, oh, no, we're not going to pay because we decided we changed the policy and you got sick right as we changed the policy. Yeah, I mean, there's all those kind of frauds because that's what it is, it's fraud. Right against the consumer from the insurance company. So, yeah, there needs to be things like that in place. So, I mean, there needs to be regulations, but don't go and expect Washington to not do something stupid like Dodd-Frank. What they did with Dodd-Frank, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all the things they did in the banking industry screwed us up, and that's what, if you're not careful, that's what they would do to health care. All they really had to do was take that Commerce Clause out there, force the states to allow the companies to sell cross borders. So that's what the Commerce Clause is about, to prevent monopolies within a state.
Right.
And then to make them accountable for what they sell. If you're selling
right.
this much insurance, here's what the policy is going to be. You can't go out there and just drop it because somebody makes a claim on it, which is what has happened in the past. Wait a minute, you got car insurance, you got in an accident. Sorry, we're canceled. We canceled you because you're in an accident. Well, wait a minute, I need the coverage because I was in an accident. Well, we canceled you because you're in an accident. I mean,
and that never
doesn't happen
to me.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that was saying, hey, guys, we're in this to make money. We don't give a damn about you. We don't care about you and your accident or anything else. Get out of our way, you know. And I had to ask myself, what kind of damn business does this? And, you know, I think, of course, I'm probably wrong on this one. Not that I'm wrong on much. but I think had the American public back when, and my dad is a victim of this, that poor people don't want to rock the boat. You know, and if they had stood up and just one time said, we're not putting up with this. We paid our premium. We did what we were supposed to do. And do what in the hell you're supposed to do. But no one ever did that. And then when they realize that your elected officials out there are getting money stuffed in their pocket left and right from the insurance companies, and the insurance company doesn't want you to know anything about it because they don't want you getting mad because you might get mad enough to actually stand up and do something about it. And that's where all this mess came from.
And then it's going to go back to where I started on this show.
That's right.
What has happened to the core values? What does it say about the morons in public office when they would say, you know what? Hey, I like your money, insurance company. I feel like running for reelection. Give me some more money out here to help me get reelected, and I'll do whatever you want. I don't care about the people either. The insurance company doesn't care about the people, and those sworn to serve and protect don't care about you either. So you are getting stabbed in the back on both sides.
Exactly.
Stabbed in the back and stabbed in the heart.
And when you've got, you know, you've got elected officials out there that aren't going to do doodly squat because they want the money that's being, the trips, it's not just money, the trips, the whatever, the everything they get.
Right.
And to be honest, they're the ones running the show. I imagine they're the ones that helped with this Obamacare crap because you never, as the insurance companies said when this was coming out about insurance and the insurance companies and all this back at the very first, one executive with an insurance company says, we like to stay in the background and not be heard.
Yeah, they are going to make a killing, probably not the best choice of words, but they're going to make a killing on Obamacare because they're going to get paid regardless of what they do. It's going to be the doctors who actually care about health care that are going to leave. And by the way, I don't know about there in Texas, but I can tell you here in Florida and other places, you know what? You don't have very many American doctors anymore either. I can't tell you how many times, especially when my father was in the hospital last year, I was lucky if I could find a doctor who could speak English.
I've been going through the same thing myself right now. I'm going, where in the hell they all go?
Well, it's all part of the whole
because
process.
Because they're sure not in the offices. You know, they're speaking everything but English. You're having to say, I'm sorry, what did you say? I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Here you are trying to make a medical decision and you can't understand what the person says. And in my own case, I had to depend on them giving me literature on stuff so I could understand more of it and sometimes getting somebody else involved. Very difficult. So when everything to do with health care, to me, there's more reason now to not have health care insurance than ever because what you're going to get isn't going to be worth anything anyway.
Yeah. Well, in general, I think what we can come down and say for sure is that the morals of what has happened to this country is called we didn't know until we got the Internet. Now we've got the Internet, we're scared to death. And whether or not if we can stop any of this, we don't know. We want to. But want and being able to is two damn different things.
Yeah. And we have awoken. I believe, I still believe there's time. I still have hope, faith, whatever you want to call it, that we'll be able to take this country back. And I'm really hoping and praying that Obamacare is part of the revolution, that people are going to be so frustrated because of really what it is. Was it you or somebody else was telling me there's like either 43 or 63 new taxes in Obamacare? Everything to do with it is such a fraud on the people. And we've got to come back, wait a minute, this is supposed to be our government. We're supposed to be the ones who control it. And yet you can perpetuate such a fraud on all of us, and we have no option to do anything about it. This is fraud.
Oh, yeah. And there's not only gun control in it. There's not only taxes. There's gun control in it.
Exactly.
There's taking your rights away as a citizen in it. There's rules on what the Homeland Security can do. There's a lot more to that bill than what people will ever know, and they're not going to tell you. That's why Google Eyes, the one that says you got to read it to know what's in it.
Oh yeah, Pelosi.
What Pelosi said.
Pass the bill before we can know what's in it.
And guess what? Our elected officials took her at her word. They did it. They passed the bill to find out what was in it. And they still don't have a clue.
And the fact that they did that is a violation of their oath of office.
Well, this is true. But then again, you're back down to this country had become so corrupt. We had no clue it was this bad. I mean, if we had it, we'd have probably already done something about it. But we've become so corrupt that we didn't have the first clue of what they were getting away with.
It goes back to the media. Before the days of the Internet, there was supposed to be this freedom of the press news media that was the watchdog. Well, Woodrow Wilson got them in there, created this press corps, and he befriended the press corps, so now the press corps is truly a part of the government versus being a watchdog of the government. They are truly the PR of the government. So that was the other piece of it. We were trusting what the news media was reporting when we shouldn't have, and we had no way to validate it because, well, it wasn't like I could jump on a plane and go to Washington and find out what they were doing. Neither could you. So
right.
We really depended on them, but the Internet gave us this new massive communication. And that
exactly.
Really has been a big savior of it, too. Well, we are down to 3 minutes, as always. It's been a lively discussion. Yeah, it's 3 minutes left here. And
I hope we hit on everything you want to talk about.
Well,
I just wandered off into
did.
The valleys.
Well, you know, I was getting into the very specific of faith in Washington, D.C., no. Faith in elected public servants, no. And while we didn't get into it per se like that, we definitely covered that same subject. So we did talk about the various things that are happening and what it is as a reflection of what we have become. And I just think it's something we need to take this time of the year to think about. What do we believe in?
Going shopping.
Yes, exactly it. I rest my case. You just made my point.
I couldn't
point.
Pass that up.
Go for it. Anyway, your final words of wisdom to wrap up the night?
Don't go shopping because Sally don't like it. No. God bless America. God bless Sally. It was fun to be back on with you again. Missed you.
Thank you.
And
well, thank
Marta,
you.
They have no hope. Good night, all.
Yes, we have John Ellis Bush here. You're right. And Rick Scott. There is no hope in Florida. Anyway, on that note, thank you for tuning in. And actually, I've been guilty of living life to the credit limit, so I do like to shop. I just think there's a time and a place for it. And I don't think you should run over people and maul them over just to go buy a stupid TV. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Please tune in tomorrow night for American Freedom Watch Radio, and then on Thursday, I'll be back. Don't know what I'm going to be talking about on Thursday. We'll figure that out when we get there. Please have a good evening, and may God bless the USA. Good night, everyone.
Good night.